Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Do you remember what we're talking about in the last two verses of the main body of Paul's epistle to Philemon? Philemon verses 21 and 22, we're talking about a biblical approach to encouragement and accountability. We're talking about the principle that Ronald Reagan called trust, but verify. And that's what Paul is doing here with Philemon. He obviously trusts him. The word he uses is confidence. He has confidence in him. He expects him to obey. He expects him to do what Paul has requested. He expects him to do more than Paul has requested. He expects him to pick up on what Paul has said and to find in that suggestions of even more things that he can and should do in obedience to Christ. He fully expects that to happen in the case of Philemon. He is that kind of a man, that kind of a Christian, we should say. And yet, even for a man like that, who can be led by suggestion and encouragement and does not require commands and threats in order to make him obey, but even a man like that needs proper biblical accountability. Imagine that. We don't like authority. We don't like accountability, not by our old man, by our Adamic nature. But that's exactly what I see before me in these last two verses of the main body of Paul's epistle to Philemon. Here's what the verses say. Paul says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Well, on this Friday, December 8th, we want to explore a little bit further into this whole issue, particularly by moving on into verse 22, the accountability part. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your financial gifts that make all of this possible. A word of encouragement, verse 21, a reminder of accountability, verse 22. The word of encouragement, I read again, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's a strong word of encouragement. That's a strong statement of confidence in the character and expected response, obedient response of this man, Philemon. But there's also accountability, verse 22. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Now let's ask some questions. Verse 22. Why does Paul request a guest room? Well, it's evident that he plans to visit Philemon in Colossae. Paul is now, you know, in Rome, under house arrest. He's imprisoned in Rome, awaiting his trial before Caesar. But in spite of present Roman imprisonment, he believes that he's going to be able to visit Philemon in Rome. Does Paul expect to be released from prison? Evidently so. How else could he say this? Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. He knows the case against him is weak. He knows the difficulty that I think it was Felix had in writing a letter to send with him, or with the commander who was responsible to get Paul to Rome to explain why Paul had appealed to Caesar, why he was being sent for trial in Rome. He remembered the difficulty in even composing a letter that made sense and offered a reason under Roman law why Paul was even there. He knew the case against him was weak, and he therefore expected a favorable verdict and release from prison, which all the evidence shows is exactly what happened. But we have to ask the question, where does prayer fit into God's purposes? Because Paul mentions that here. Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. One of the mysteries of the Christian faith. But please understand, prayer is the means God uses to accomplish his purposes. Paul does not mention the details of the case. Paul doesn't say, I expect to be granted to you, that is, to be able to come and visit you because of this point of law and that point of law, and I'm expecting a favorable verdict because of this and that and the other, the sort of things that we might look to in a situation like this. But Paul looks to God, who hears and answers prayer. I fully expect to be released. I fully expect to be released because I do think I'm going to get a favorable verdict. I do think the court process is going to work in my favor, and there are legal reasons for that. But ultimately, the reason why I think this is going to happen is because I believe that God is going to make it happen in response to your prayers. Whoa. It is too easy for us to focus on circumstances and forget that God controls the circumstances. It is too easy for us to put our hopes in changing circumstances instead of putting our hope in God. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got a problem in your life. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the problem, the circumstances? Oh, this is so difficult. This is so frightening. I've got this circumstance, maybe poor health. I've got this circumstance, maybe you lost your job. I've got this circumstance, but your son or your daughter is in trouble with the law. I mean, on and on it goes. The possibilities are endless, aren't they? And you look at all of these circumstances and you are distracted, you are perhaps depressed, you are anxious, you are filled with worry because you are focusing on your circumstances rather than upon God who controls your circumstances, rather than, are you listening to me now, the God who appointed your circumstances. That's right. I hope you understand that about God. If you study the Bible, you'll realize that. Some people have a very mistaken view of God, who he is and how he operates. I'm convinced that many people who are talking about believing in God don't know a God at all, because the God they're talking about is not the God that's revealed in Scripture. He's another God, a God of their own imagination, a God of their own mental construction, a God that they have adopted from something that somebody else said, and they have accepted what they said is true without checking it out in Scripture. Maybe have accepted it because they like the sound of it, but it's not the God of Scripture at all. I hope you understand that God controls your circumstances. If you have a health problem, God appointed that. If you're out of work, God appointed that trial. If you have a son or daughter that's in trouble with the law, God appointed that trial for you and for them at this time. He has purposes, wise and gracious purposes. You say, why would God permit something like that? Why would God appoint something like that? I don't know. God hasn't told me, but he makes it very plain in his word that he's the one who controls all these things. So, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on your circumstances, or are you focusing on the God who controls your circumstances? Are you all upset because of this thing and that thing and this event and that event and this person and that person? And as if somehow, if you could change those things, you could change everything. You can't. But is there anybody who can? And who would that be? That's God. So why don't you instead go to God and say, Lord God, I know that you have appointed this health problem in my life at this time. I don't know why you've appointed it. If you want to make that clear to me, I would be happy to understand, but I don't need to. That's not what I'm demanding. That's not what I'm requesting. I'm requesting that you will grow me, that you will teach me, that you will help me to grow in grace and knowledge, that you will use this trial to make me a better Christian, to make me a better wife or husband or whatever you are, to make me better able to relate to others and help them with their problems, to make me more Christ-like, to make me more gracious. Oh, Lord God, why you've brought this into my life, please use it. Please give it a sanctifying purpose in my life. Lord, I know that it was by your appointment that I've lost my job. Now, Lord, you know that puts me in a difficult circumstance, but you're the God who's promised to supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you're not going to supply my need by the means of this job at this particular time, then you evidently have some other way. I'm trusting you for that because your word promises that. You who feed the sparrow and clothe the lily of the valley have promised to take care of your children who are of more value than sparrows or lilies. I know that. I believe that. Lord, I don't know why you have permitted my dear child to go this wayward direction, why you didn't stop them before they got that far. But, Father, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're doing this to bring them to their knees and to bring them to Christ. That would be wonderful if that is your purpose. But whatever is the purpose for which you have appointed this, I know you've got something to teach me. Father, I confess that there have been times when I've been very judgmental of others when their young people went astray, and now look, it's happened to me. Oh, what a different perspective I have on it now. Forgive me for ever having that critical spirit towards someone else, judging them harshly as being poor parents because I saw what happened to their children, because now it's happening to me. Oh, dear Lord, I haven't been the parent I should be. Please show me. Please help me. Please forgive me. And please help me to be the kind of Christian, the kind of spouse, the kind of parent that you would have me to be at this time, the kind of grandparent you would have me to be at this time. In other words, don't you see what I'm talking about? Instead of focusing so much on your circumstances, focus on the God who controls them, the God who brought the circumstances, the God who's able to change the circumstances, the God who's able to take away those circumstances when it pleases him, the God who is able to use every one of those circumstances for your good, because you know that all things, including these difficult circumstances, work together for good to those who know God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now that text, Romans 8:28, makes no sense whatsoever if God doesn't control the circumstances. How can he work everything for your good if he doesn't control the circumstances? Of course he does. So instead of focusing on the circumstances and forgetting the God who controls them, and instead of putting your hopes on changing your circumstances, instead of putting your hope in God who controls them for his purposes and will change them if it is for your good and will keep them there as long as that is for your good, that's what we need to focus on, don't we? That's what Paul's focusing on. I'm in prison in Rome. I expect to be released through your prayers, not through my clever defense, not because of the smart lawyer that I've hired, but through your prayers, because God controls these circumstances and God responds to the prayers of his people. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.